This morning we're going to be using some military analogies.
今天早上我们会用一些军事上的这个语言。
Is there anyone here that ever happened to serve in any military?
在你们当中有没有哪些人曾经在军队里面服侍过的？
It's possible that there may be someone here that have or have considered it.
也许在你们当中有些人已经在军队里面服侍过，有些人是在考虑。
I've had some friends that have served in the military.
I have, 我有一些朋友们，他们在军队里面服侍过。
We're also going to be looking at the analogy of what it means to be a spy.
我们也会用一些跟做间谍有关的。
I have a friend in Russia who is a missionary.
我有一个朋友，他在俄国是个传道的。
His name is Tim Smith.
他的名字叫做 Tim Smith.
Most people think he's crazy.
很多人认为他疯狂。
He actually wanted to go to Siberia.
他其实想到西伯利亚去。
But when he was in Siberia, he's an avid outdoorsman.
他是很喜欢在户外行动的，所以他到了西伯利亚以后。
And he was riding his bike through the mountains one day.
他一天在山里面骑车，骑脚踏车。
And he came across the seashore.
他来到一个河。
And so he decided to ride around the ridge of the seashore.
他就决定按照海边来骑他的车。
And all of a sudden, he stumbled on a Russian submarine base.
他无意中碰到了这个俄国的潜水艇的基地。
Oops. The men came out.
里面的人出来。
Threw him on the ground.
把他扔在地上。
Pointed the rifles in his face.
把枪对着他的脸。
And began yelling, he's a spy, he's a spy.
他说他是间谍，他是间谍。
And he said, no, I was just riding my bike.
他说我不是间谍，我只不过骑我的脚踏车。
And there was another time.
有另外一次。
When he was hiking in the mountains.
他在这个山里面走路。
And he was just barely learning Russian at this time.
他那个时候刚刚开始学俄文。
And there was a sign there, so he couldn't really read it.
那有一个标牌，可他不会念。
So he decided to keep hiking.
他就继续往前走。
He found out later that the sign said that you are now on military property. Use of lethal force is authorized.
那个后来他知道那个标牌写的是你现在是在军事基地里面，里面的人可以用武器用武力。
Again, he was arrested and accused of being a spy.
他又被抓起来，又被称认为是。
We'll come back to these two analogies in a little bit.
我们等一下再回来这里。
But the book of 2 John is a very, very interesting book.
约翰二书是很有兴趣的一本书。
It says it's written by the elder.
说是为长老所写的。
The author never identifies himself.
这个作者没有亲自表明他是谁。
But if we put together the other scriptures, we learn that it's the apostle that Jesus loved.
我们假如把其他的书信看放在一起，我们知道这是耶稣所喜欢那个使徒里面的。
It's the same one who wrote the Gospel of John.
是同一个写约翰福音的人。
And it's the same one who ended up writing the book of Revelation.
也是同一个写启示录的人。
The book is written to the chosen lady.
这本书是写给所选择的太太。
There are a number of different ideas of who this chosen lady is.
有对这个谁是这个所拣选的太太看法不很多。
Some say that the term chosen lady is actually her name, Eclecta Kyria.
有人说这个所拣选太太是一个人真真正正的名字。
But I don't think that this is the case.
可是我不认为是这样子。
I think that the chosen lady is a reference to the bride of Christ.
所以我认为这个拣选的太太是耶稣的基督的心腹。
But not just the whole body of the church, I think it's written to one specific church.
这并不是只是指整个的宇宙性的教会，只是有一个特别的教会。
Church history tells us that John was the pastor or the elder of the church in Ephesus.
历史告诉我们约翰是在以弗所那个教会的牧师。
And this book was probably written while John was on the Isle of Patmos looking back to Ephesus and writing this letter to his people there.
很可能他写这本书信的时候是他在巴底摩岛望着以弗所写的。
And so this book really can be split up into two sections.
所以这一本书信可以把它分成两段。
And we've titled these sections A Command to Keep in verses 1 through 6.
所以我们把它分成两个标题，一个是要遵守的一个命令，是第一节到第六节。
And a caution to heed, verses 7 through 13.
第二个是要留心的一个警戒，是第七节到第十三节。
Let's first of all look at a command to keep.
我们首先来看一下要遵守的一个命令。
And the command we'll find out is in verse 5, it says that we love one another.
这个命令就是在第五节。
But he's going to explain what it really means for a church, for a local body, to love one another.
他会解释如何一个地方教会彼此相爱。
What does church fellowship look like?
在这个教会里面彼此的关系是怎么样？
This Saturday, there's going to be a potluck dinner.
这个礼拜六我们会有大家聚餐。
I love potlucks.
我喜欢聚餐。
I like eating all the good food.
我喜欢吃这样的好食物。
I enjoy sitting down and talking with people.
我喜欢坐下来跟大家谈天。
But is that what true Christian fellowship is?
那这是不是真正的基督徒之间生活的关系呢？
If it is sitting around and eating,
假如我们是坐在那边吃,
then we are not having fellowship this morning.
那么我们现在在一起有没有交易呢？
He says in verse 1 that the basis of this love is the truth. It's a word he uses multiple times in this section. He says, I love this church in the truth. And he says, anyone else who loves the truth also loves this church. The basis of Christian fellowship. The basis of Christian unity is truth. During the early 1900s, there were several missionary conferences. And the attempt of these conferences was to cross denominational lines. To cross lines of what people believed doctrinal truth was. And they said, doctrine divides and service unites.
所以他们说虽然我们在 圣经的真理上看法不同，可是我们的服事是合一的。
But it says the truth lives in us and will be with us forever.
这里面说的真理在我们里面，也与我们同在，永久同在。
There are things that we know to be true about God.
我们知道有些对神的真理是真实的。
We know ultimately that God is a holy God.
我们知道最终神是一个圣洁的神。
And as the only unique being in the universe,
是在整个的宇宙中最特殊的一个,
he cannot tolerate sin.
他没有办法容忍罪,
and therefore he pours out infinite wrath on sin.
所以他把所有他的愤怒对罪发泄出来。
This is true.
这是真的。
We also know that God is love.
我们也知道神就是爱。
And we know that John said that God so loved the world he gave his only son.
对，我们知道约翰说，神爱世人，甚至把他独生子给他。
And we know that when God gave His only Son, His Son paid an actual price for sin.
我们知道，当神把他的儿子给了人，他的儿子是把罪的代价都付出来。And
His Son rose from the dead, proving forever that He was the divine God.
然后他的儿子从死里复活，证明他就是真的神。This
is truth.
这也是真理。
We have a word for this truth.
我们为这个真理有一个名称。
It is called the gospel.
也称为福音。
He gives a greeting in verse 3.
他在第三节里面有问候。
He says, Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, who will be with us in truth and love. You have the same two concepts together, truth and love.
在这里，你这两个观念一同存在，就是真理跟爱。
Let me give a proposition at this point. You cannot have true Christian love. Love for one another, love for other believers. Without right Christian truth. That is to say, if you do not believe the gospel, you are not a Christian, and you cannot have Christian fellowship with others. In verse 4,
在第四节,
he says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as your Father commanded us." This church had very much of a doctrinal precision.
在这个教会里面,对于这教义有很正确的了解。
The people in the church knew what the truth was.
在这个教会里的人知道什么是真理。
And the truths of the gospel had deeply affected their lives.
在这个教会里,教真理对他们的生活有很大的影响。
They knew the truth.
他们认识真理。
They lived in the truth.
他们在真理里面生活。
And how that worked out in their lives was a group of people that when you looked at them from the outside, you wondered, how could they think so similarly? How are their minds and their hearts so knit together that service just explodes from them?
怎么连在一起,所以他们的侍奉可以发挥出来。
And John says, it's based in the truth.
所以约翰说,这个基础就是真理。
As a point of application,
对我们实际来讲,应用来讲,
it takes work to know the truth.
我们要认识真理,要花时间努力。
Many of you in here are very, very well educated.
很多,你们当中很多人都是很有教育的。
You have doctoral degrees.
有的有博士学位,
you have master's degrees.
有硕士学位,
you have done a great deal of study in many disciplines.
你在各种不同的学科上有很多的研究。
And the Christianity takes, in order to understand what the Bible teaches, it takes a great deal of study.
假如要知道圣经教什么,
and this is ultimately the responsibility of every single Christian.
这也就是每一个基督徒的责任。
If you want to know the truth,
只要你要认识真理,
you must know what this book teaches.
你一定要知道这本书所教的是什么。
You have to spend time reading it.
你要花时间来念。
You have to spend time looking at it very, very closely to try to figure out what is this passage actually saying.
你要看得很仔细, 要看这一段经究竟是在说什么。
What can I learn about God from the things that I am reading?
从我念的里面, 我对神有什么认识?
How does this affect my life? And just like any other academic discipline, it takes time,
要花时间,
and it takes work,
要有工作,
and it takes discipline.
而且要自己的节制。
Are you a person who seeks out the truth?
每一个人只要寻求真理的,
if you are not,
假如你不要寻求真理,
then it's going to be very hard to have Christian unity with someone who is. He gives us the command in verse
5.
And he says it's the command that we have had from the beginning. Which means that somewhere else this command has been stated. John by this time has probably already penned his gospel. And most of the people who were eyewitnesses of Christ's ministry are probably mostly dead by now. John is one of the last. He is the last apostle to be living. But he points back to his own book. Look with me in John 15.
我们去看约翰福音第十五章。
In John chapter 15,
约翰福音第十五章,
Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Judas has already left. So he's only speaking to believers. And it's his last words of comfort before he leaves. And in this speech, he promises to send another comforter. Who is the Holy Spirit? He says that if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And then he gives a command. I'd like to read verses 9 through 14 to you. We'll actually read from 9 through 17. This is what Scripture says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love one another. He commands it, love one another. He defines it, saying, greater love has no one than this, and he lays down his life for his friends. So we saw that Christian love, first of all, demands truth. And Christian love takes some sacrifice. See, he says, love one another as Christ has loved you. And how did Christ love us? He died for us. And in his death, he showed the ultimate display of love. Christian love takes sacrifice. If there are people in our church that have serious needs, do you sacrifice to meet them? See, that requires that we actually know what needs people have. Do you ever walk up to some of the people in the church and ask, how can I pray for you this week? Prayer is a means of sacrifice. It takes time. And time is a very, very valuable commodity. You only have 24 hours in one day. See, when he's speaking of love, think of it within the picture of a military. One of my friends in seminary, before he came to seminary, was in the army. I also had a friend in college who fought in Iraq. And they, when they talk about their friends in the army, and what it's like to actually be in combat, as you are fighting against the enemy, they're not thinking about the mission that they have to complete. A lot of them aren't even thinking of their families and their friends back at home. They're thinking of the man that's fighting right next to them. Which is why when a grenade is thrown into a trench, And there are four men standing around it. And one person throws himself on the grenade. He's not doing it for the mission. He's not doing it for his friends and family back at home. He's doing it because he loves the three men that are next to him. And this is the kind of love that Christians ought to have. The church is a church at war. When Christ promised to build his church, he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Armies do not take their gates to battle. Gates are a defensive structure. Imagine in your mind's eye this hell being a massive fortified city. And that the church is doing battle to pull captives out of it. It's not that there are cities set up on a hill guarding themselves in their own walls. Too often we think of a church in that manner. It's the picture of an army encamped outside of walls. With a group of people on the front lines holding the battering ram. And beating down the gates. Christian love for one another is ultimately militant. It is a battle. It is a war. And the means by which soldiers are fighting, the means by which we carry out our mission, is to love one another. And that's the command we need to keep. He then gives us a caution to heed. And his warning is essentially this. Be careful. There are spies among you. When most countries in the world find a spy, they usually do three things to them. Number one, they imprison them. Number two, they try to get as much information as they can out of them. And number three, they usually remove them from their midst, usually by execution. Now, we're not going to kill anyone in our church. But we will talk about removing of people who aren't teaching truth. He tells us the nature of the error in verse 7. He says that many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. When John was writing, there was a man in Ephesus with whom he had several discussions and debates and even disagreements. The man's name was Cerinthus. Cerinthus was a Jew. He claimed to be an apostle. He demanded that all Christians should be circumcised. He claimed to have received angelic revelations from God. He had rejected all the Gospels except for parts of Matthew.
他把所有的福音都拒绝承认，只有一部分，在马太福音里面一部分他承认。
And he taught that it's necessary for Christians to live by the Mosaic law.
他认为基督徒一定要按照摩西的律法生活。
He was what's known as a Gnostic.
In other words, 他是属于那个知识派。
Gnosticism held a dualistic view that matter was inherently evil.
所以他们认为物质是基本上是恶的。
And spirit was inherently good.
这个灵魂是好的。
Thus,
这样子的话,
God did not create the world.
神没有创造世界。
You have two beings that are fighting.
你有两个不同的实质在彼此相争。
A good God,
是好的神,
and an evil God,
and a 坏的神。
It also believed that Jesus was only a man.
他也相信基督不过只是一个人。
Well, as a man, he was only flesh.
但假如是人的话，他只是有肉体。
And therefore, he couldn't really be good.
这样的话，他不可能是好的。
And so that the heavenly part of God,
所以从属天的性来讲,
came upon Jesus at his baptism.
那他来到基督，从神上面的。来到基督的洗礼。
And you can see it, it looked like a dove.
你看起来好像是一个鸽子。
It gave him the genuine knowledge of God.
对于他给人一个真正对神的认识。
And he had the power of miracles.
也有这个圣行神迹的力量。
But then he forsook Jesus at the cross.
可是他离弃了基督，在十字架上离弃了基督。
This teaching,
这个教导
is inherently against everything we know to be true about God.
他这样子的教导是对我们对神的认识都相反的。
And about Jesus Christ.
也对基督的教导也不相同。
Physical matter is not bad.
所以实际上物体上不一定是坏的。
Your physical body is not necessarily evil in and of itself.
所以你的身体的本质不一定是在他的本质不一定是坏的。
There is only one God.
只有一个神。
And he is ultimately good.
神最终是好的。
When Jesus Christ, as the divine God in heaven,
当耶稣基督是从山上的在天上的神,
as the second person of the Trinity,
是在三位一体中的第二位,
even when he was in Mary's womb,
甚至于在他在玛利亚玛利亚的子宫里面的时候
was fully God.
他也是完完全全的神。
And he was fully God and fully man.
他是完完全全的神，也是完完全全的人。
If you deny that,
假如你不承认的话，
and if you teach otherwise,
假如你教导是别的，
this passage says that you are a deceiver and you are an antichrist.
所以在这一个经节里面，对这样的人说他是欺骗人的，他是敌基督。
In other words,
用另外一句话,
you are not a Christian.
你就不是基督徒。
John,
约翰,
there's a story written about him.
有个故事是有关约翰的。
And it was written by one of his disciples.
是他的一个门徒写的。
And John was in a bathhouse one day in Ephesus.
有一次约翰在一个洗澡的地方，在以弗所。
And Cerinthus came in.
Cerinthus 这个人来了。
And it says that John ran out of the bathhouse shouting.
他说，约翰在这个时候跑出来叫。
He said, let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within.
他说，我们大家都离开这个 bathhouse, 因为 Cerinthus 这个人他来到这个里面。
And he fled.
他就跑了。
Our response to false teachers,
我们对这些假教师的反应,
we're going to see in a moment,
我们等一下就会看到,
is that you ought to flee from them.
所以你应该离开他, 逃开。
But the errors of first century Gnosticism,
所以假如是在这个第一世纪的这种知识主义者,
are not the only problems of doctrinal deviance.
并不是从跟唯一的从圣经的真理相反的。
We could very, very broadly say that anything that denies the gospel,
我们可以说任何一个拒绝承认福音的，
and any part of the gospel,
或者任何一部分的福音，
is Antichrist. For instance, there are some that say that Jesus did not resurrect from the dead. You can't see him rise from the dead. It was a miracle, and we know that since we can't see miracles, miracles don't actually happen. But that's wrong. Paul says if he did not rise from the dead, then there is no gospel. There are some that say that the Bible is not the Word of God. It's not the truth in and of itself. The words are not true. And it's a good book. It might become truth as I read it. But it's not true. If you say the Bible is not true, you have denied the gospel. Because the Bible tells us what the gospel is, and you are not a Christian. There are some who say that salvation really isn't eternal. Salvation is simply building God's rule on this earth. So missions is simply going to another country and building poor people houses. And going and building buildings for people that have needs. And feeding hungry children. But if we say that salvation is not eternal, and to say that it's not about having your sins forgiven, and having Christ's righteousness actually put onto your account, you have denied the gospel. Let me name a name here. The name is Brian McLaren. And the Emerging Church. And they view the world in this way. But they have denied the gospel. There are some, such as Joel Osteen, who claim that the gospel and the Christian life, it's about doing the best that you can. Being healthy. Being rich. Being smart. Being successful. Sounds good, doesn't it? But if you read 1 Peter, he says that all who live godly will suffer persecution. In another, in his gospel, John writes some of the words of Jesus. And Christ promises, in this world you will have tribulation. But then he says, take courage. I have overcome the world. There are some, such as Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and they may come riding their bikes and knocking on your door from time to time. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is fully God. They'll say that he is a God. They deny the doctrine of the Trinity. But if Jesus isn't God, he's not infinite. And if he's not infinite, he can't pay an infinite price for sin. So that when he died, he didn't actually do anything for your sins. And if that's the case, then you are still in your sins. There are some modern day teachers that say that God knows everything that happened in the past and everything that happens right now, but he doesn't necessarily understand the future. Let me try to illustrate this. They say that man has a completely free will. And let's say that as free will being, I go to Subway for dinner. And I can either have a turkey sub, or the ham and cheese sub. The ham and cheese.
Ham sandwich.
Now, it's my choice what sandwich I'm going to eat. And if I'm really going to have my own free choice, then nobody can know the future. God doesn't really know the future because I can choose to do something otherwise. God may think I'm going to eat the turkey sandwich, but in reality, I'm going to choose the meatball sub. And it kind of takes God off guard. They say that, well, he's a very competent guesser. But he doesn't really know the future. If God didn't know the future, then God didn't really know that Christ was going to die on the cross. And if he really didn't know that Christ was going to die on the cross, why would he have sent him to begin? If God doesn't know everything, then there's absolutely no way for a person to be saved. There's a pastor in Minneapolis. His name is Greg Boyd. And he has a large church in the northern suburbs. And he preaches this. He states the warning to the believers. He says, "Watch that you do not lose for what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully." For those who do not tolerate false teachings in their church, there is a reward. And we can say that it's a reward in heaven. For those who are not careful about what is taught in church, there is lots of reward. In verse 9, he shows us who is in the church and who is out of the church. He says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That is to say, if there is anyone in this church who is a member of this church that has in any way denied the gospel by what they believe, and what they teach, it is the responsibility of the leadership of this church. And it's the responsibility of every member sitting in the pew to make sure that that person is removed from the membership of the church because they do not have God. There cannot be Christian fellowship between the people that believe the gospel
没有办法,
and the people that do not. If you deny the gospel, there is no Christian fellowship here for you. And he says in verse 9, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And verse 10 gives you the extreme. And it's talking about people from the outside of the church who want to have Christian fellowship with us. There may be other churches that invite us to activities and to do missionary works with them. And these people may deny the gospel. But if they say, if they come to you bringing this teaching, number one, we cannot be hospitable to them. And number two, it says in the NIV we cannot welcome him. The word for welcome is simply the English equivalent of saying hello. That is to say, if you see these people around, other than to point out to them, this is where your error is, and to actually try to win them for Christ, you can have no fellowship with them. You can't work with them. You cannot greet them. You cannot acknowledge what they are doing. If you do, you have actually left the realm of Christian fellowship. And it says in verse 11, you share, or literally you fellowship, in his wicked deed. You may be a Christian, and your eternal salvation is utterly secure, but you have precluded yourself from loving the Christian brothers because you are sharing in the deeds of the people that do not believe the gospel. We cannot allow false teaching into our church, and we cannot allow people to fellowship around false teaching. But what is our motivation? Our motivation is ultimately love. Love for the people within our own church. Love for God. Love for the truth. But is there ever a time where we can work with other churches? Look at verse 13. If we say that the chosen lady is a church, there can be fellowship around common doctrine with other churches. It says in verse 13, the children of your chosen sister send their greetings. It says, they say hello. There is fellowship of love among Christian people. But those that don't believe the gospel, and those that teach another gospel, we must draw a line between us and them. Those people that believe the gospel, yet go to the people that don't believe the gospel and call them friend and call them Christian, there has to be a line between us and them. And the reason is the love for our the own people in our own church. Let's close in word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth which you communicated through this book. That ultimately there can be wonderful, sweet unity between Christians. And ultimately, to maintain that unity, we must also have a level of separation between those that do not believe the gospel and even those Christians who are simply indifferent to the gospel. We pray, Father, that you would help us to have a pure church. Based around the truth and for your glory. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.